Good evening. It's good to see everyone this evening. We appreciate your presence, and we have several who are visiting with us this evening, and we're thankful that you're here. As Michael prayed, we have an opportunity to be together on the Lord's Day, and it's an important day for us. The rest of the world may not put much emphasis on it, but we have an opportunity to come together and worship God, and that is certainly encouraging, and we're glad that you're here. If you've accepted the invitation of someone who's invited you, we're thankful that you're with us this evening. I want us to think this evening about missing out on what is important. And I want you to turn over to John chapter 20 with me in just a moment. We're going to be reading the story there of Jesus being resurrected and appearing to Thomas. But as you're turning over to John chapter 20, I want you to think about the question, are you missing out? Am I missing out? What if we were invited, maybe with family members or a group, to go visit a famous landmark, let's say something like the Grand Canyon, okay? And we go with that group, or maybe this fall we're going to go to Fall Creek Falls, or we're going to go to the Smoky Mountains to see the colors and the trees turning and so forth. And we all group up together and we go out there and we get right next to the Grand Canyon or right next to Niagara Falls or wherever it might be. And then we spend the day in our hotel room watching TV. We never go see the Grand Canyon. We never go see Niagara Falls. We're right there, you know. We never go see the changing of the colors. You see, everybody else does, but we just stay in our room and maybe we get online and we're surfing the net or something, or maybe we're flipping channels on the cable TV. Do you think the rest of the group would say that we're missing out? That they would say, you know, he's missing out. That's what would happen. We likely would not do that. We likely would not be right next to something that is just really enjoyable, nice to look at, but not take in the sights. We probably wouldn't do that. Neither would we sit next to a big buffet of food and not at least sample some of the dishes. Where my sister lives up in Ohio, there's this famous Amish buffet that people drive across the state to come to. And it's known for its Amish homemade buffets and desserts and all that kind of thing. Can you imagine going into that place? And when you walk in, on the right-hand side, the entire room is dedicated just to baked goods. And you can smell the bread and the big old cinnamon rolls about that big, you know. Can you imagine going into a place like that and just about, I just want a glass of water, you know. We would want to sample some of that. I want us to think about that this evening, that we have things that are right next to us of a spiritual nature. We have things that are right next to us that are extremely important in our life, and often we're missing out because we're not partaking of those things. I believe that many today are like Thomas. They're missing out. They're missing out on the important. And I would like to look at his life this evening by way of introduction and then look at some things this evening that we may be missing out on. We could have these things in our life. We could be partakers of these things. We could be benefited. But it's like going to the Grand Canyon and being about a mile from the Grand Canyon and just saying, you know, I'm just going to spend the whole day in my hotel room. Y'all go out there and look at that beautiful area. I'm just going to stay in my hotel room. You know, we're right next to something that is grand and glorious. And we say, well, you know, I just don't want to partake of that. In John chapter 20, if you'll turn with me there, of course, we have the story of Jesus being resurrected from the dead. And this would be a glorious thing to see Jesus on his resurrection, to see him after he comes out of the tomb, that would be amazing. Can you imagine? And yet we find that Thomas is not there. And so he missed out. And what we're going to notice this evening is that we don't know why. We need to be careful not to misrepresent Thomas. We're not told why he wasn't there. We need to be careful in charging him with something. We just don't know. We don't know if he was lazy. We don't know if he was sick. We don't know if he was held up in traffic. We don't know. We just don't know. And so I want to be careful this evening as to say why Thomas wasn't there. Our lesson is not about why he was not there. I don't know why. It could be related, if you look at verse 19, the rest of the disciples were inside a room and the door was shut because of fear of the Jews. It may have been that on his part. But we're just not told. But we are told that he wasn't there. And regardless of why, he missed out on seeing the resurrected Lord. And so he was missing. He wasn't there. And the fact is, we can learn from that. I'm not going to charge him for a particular reason for not being there. We're not told. And I'm not going to surmise and guess. But I know that he wasn't there. And I know that he didn't hear and see the things that the others did until a week later. And so we can learn from that, that indeed he was missing. In fact, verse 24, Thomas was not with them. And so I want us to think this evening about the matter of missing out. Are you missing out? Am I missing out on the important things in life? John chapter 20, verse 19, let's read together. When therefore it was evening on that day. This is the Sunday evening. Jesus had been in the tomb 3 days and he comes out of the tomb early Sunday morning. And so on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had said this, he showed unto them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus therefore said to them again, "Peace be unto you. As the Father hath sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Jesus cometh to the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger." He grants this request that Thomas was wanting a week earlier or so. "Reach hither thy finger, and see my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said unto him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed." Many other signs, therefore, did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Verse 24, Thomas was not with them, and he missed out. And when you go back through the text, you begin to see some of the things that Thomas missed. He missed out on the peace that Jesus granted. Can you imagine being in Jerusalem or the environs of Jerusalem, somewhere in a home, and the Jews are on a rampage? They're upset. The Romans, you know, they tried to seal the tomb. There's a hubbub about this man who said that he would come out of the tomb in 3 days. There's a lot going on in town. The Passover, there's a lot going on. And you're inside a room and you're fearful. You're clearly in the minority in town. Just 3 days earlier, they had been chanting, "Crucify him, crucify him." But Jesus comes in and says, "Peace. Peace be unto you." That would be amazing. To be there in the presence of the resurrected Lord. Thomas missed that. I don't know why he wasn't there. We're not told. But I know he missed that. And that's a great thing. In fact, twice he says that. That would be comforting and consoling and encouraging. And that would help to dispel this fear of the Jews. I'm in the presence of the Almighty Son of God. Thomas missed that. When you come on down, you find that Thomas missed out on the evidence he needed to remove his doubt. You come on down later and you find in verse 25 that Thomas does not want to believe that this is the resurrected Lord until he has some evidence. He could have had that evidence. He would not have had to be doubtful. He would not have had to be what we call today a skeptic or an agnostic. Well, I don't really know. The evidence would have been clear and incontrovertible. It would have been open and honest, and he could have had that right there, and there would be no reason to say, well, I just don't know. And so he missed out on that evidence. He got it a week later. But he went a period of time there where he was doubtful and the others were not, because he missed out. Thomas missed out on the joy and the gladness of being with Jesus and his brethren. We find in verse 19 that Jesus came and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be unto you." And we find that the text says that when Jesus said that, they were glad. They were glad. You know, verse 20, the disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. So we go from fear to joy and gladness. Some of them, we know from the text, when you compare Luke 24, Mark 16, Matthew 28, all the post-resurrection appearances and stories there, you put them all together, you find that there is some doubting going on. You find that there is fear going on. It's almost as if there's some confusion and they're bothered. But all of that is dispelled and they're glad now. There may have been some sadness. Our Lord has been crucified and he's dead. What are we going to do now? See, our leader's gone. But now they're glad and they're happy. And they begin to gain that boldness. 50 days later, they'll stand before that great crowd on Pentecost and preach out boldly. How did it begin? By being in the presence of Jesus. And Thomas missed out on that. Thomas missed out on what we call the Great Commission. This is John's version of it. We're familiar probably more with Matthew 28. Go make disciples of all nations. We're familiar with Mark 16. Go preach the gospel to every creature. We're familiar with that. This is John's version of that. It's the same thing, but John records the emphasis on forgiving sins and retaining sins. And so when you look at verses 22 and 23, Jesus gives them a commission to go preach, and they're going to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. But notice verse 22. I don't know the details of this, but it must have been a pretty awesome thing. He breathed on them. Whatever was involved with that. And he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Whatever is involved with that, that's a big thing. And Thomas missed out on it. And so, you go out. And verse 23 is not the idea of, I decide if your sins are forgiven or not, but through the preaching of the apostles. Look at verse 23. When they preached, and those obeyed the gospel, their sins would be forgiven. And when they preached by the Holy Spirit, and the people did not obey the gospel, their sins would remain. That is the forgiveness, or not being forgiven, that is spoken there. It's taken together with the idea of preaching, as is found in the parallel accounts. But Thomas missed out on that. And so I want us to think, brethren and friends, this evening, that as we get up and go throughout our days, there's a lot of physical things that we do. We've got school and work and friends and hobbies and things like that. But sometimes throughout the day, we're standing literally. We're right beside something that would be of great importance to us, and we don't avail ourselves to it. I'll tell you what, if somebody invited me to go see the Grand Canyon, I wouldn't be staying in a hotel room. I want to look at that. And if somebody invited me to fly with them to Hawaii, I am not going to spend the entire week inside my hotel room. I'm getting out. I want to see those volcanoes. You see, I want to see that beautiful, lush greenery. So you pick whatever it is in your mind that you would really like to be beside, whether it's music, athletics, some natural thing that God has made in the world, some big buffet of food, whatever it is for you. Just imagine yourself being right there. But I don't want it. And how silly that would be. But even more so now, these spiritual things that we want to look at. You know, some are missing out on help. We all need help from day to day. There are things that we struggle with, that we go through. And the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 that we can come as Christians now, not just anybody out in the world. Proverbs chapter 18, the Lord turns his ear away from those who have refused the law. So we've got to be on praying terms with God. We've got to obey and be on praying terms with God. But when we do that, we can find help in time of need, and grace and mercy, and find help in time of need. Did we do that today? Did we pray today? And I mean outside the building here. Michael had a beautiful prayer earlier. The prayers here are always encouraging to me. But have we done that outside the building? Are we going to do that tomorrow throughout the day? Well, I do that at a meal. That's good. But there's times throughout the day when I need help and a meal is not involved and a church service is not involved. Will I get down on my knees in prayer, or will I bow my head and come to the throne of grace that we may see grace and mercy in time of need? You know, many are missing out because they won't do that. Well, I'm too busy to pray. Or there's people around, they may see me. You know, coworker may see me, or classmate may see me. Well, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. When we fail to pray, we're missing out on that God-given help that He's ready to avail. And in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18, if you'll turn there, Jesus, as a man, went through things that we go through. And that wasn't just, that was for the cross. And much of that had to do with the suffering. And so chapter 2, verse 9, it had to do with suffering on the cross for the sins of our world, for the sins of the world. But it's more than that, verse 18, so that He can aid them that are tempted. There's another benefit there. And that comes through prayer. And Jesus, chapter 7 and verse 25, being our intercessor. Hebrews 7:25. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. We noticed this morning in our Bible class. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. Brethren, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation. Do you realize as a Christian we have things that accompany salvation? That means, yes, we have forgiveness of sins, but there's a whole host of other things that go along with that. And prayer is one of them. And help from prayer is one of those things. But we're missing out when we fail to go to God for that help. Can you imagine drowning in an ocean and there's a man there ready to help you, ready to throw you the lifeline, ready to throw you that life preserver? You say, well, you know, I don't need that. No, we would be crying out, you see. And there are times when we're in need. And I'm not talking about physical need, but all kinds of needs. God is there ready to help us through prayer. You know, some are missing out on the encouragement that they can gain from other brethren when they fail to assemble. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, one of the purposes and plans of God in the local assembly, chapter 10 and verse 25, is not forsaking our own assembling together as the custom of some is. We don't want to be like other brethren who forsake the assembling, but we want to be there, but exhorting one another so much as you see the day drawing nigh. When we purposely absent ourselves, I'm not talking about a physical matter that keeps us from being here. I'm not talking about inclement weather that keeps us from being here. But we could be here and we choose not to be. And we absent ourselves. We get weak. And we're missing out on the encouragement from the singing and the prayers and the lessons and talking with each other and encouraging one another. And then we wonder why, you know, we're getting farther and farther away from the Lord. Well, what are you doing tonight? What are you doing? Well, I'm watching TV. You see, you're missing out.
Oh, but you don't understand, it's my favorite show. No, you're missing out. You're missing out, friend. Oh, but you don't understand, my favorite football team's on TV, you see. And I've recorded them. No, you're missing out. You're missing out on the important. And you could be encouraged and built up, and something would be said or done to help you be stronger to go to heaven. But no, I'm out on the lake, you see. I'm out on the lake fishing. Or I'm doing this, or I'm doing that. You're missing out. And so God gives us those things that are important, and we can partake of those. And we live in a free country. Do you realize that there are some brethren around the world that struggle to get to services? And in some cases, it's difficult to get to services. We live in a land of the free, and some can't make it. Don't want to make it. And we can easily get in our car and drive, but no. We're missing out, you see. But you don't understand, I'm grilling out tonight, or I'm watching TV, or I'm polishing my car, or I want to take a motorcycle ride, or I want to do this. No, you're missing out. We're missing out on the comfort and consolation of God's Word. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15 and verse 5. If there's one book that is everywhere, it's the Bible. And that's a great thing. Do you know that the Bible is everywhere? And yet, there will be those who won't crack it open. A wealth of comfort lies there, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And yet we won't crack it open. It collects dust. It sits over on a shelf somewhere. And we could have comfort. It's guidance. It will guide us. It will instruct us in every way. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And we have a number of young people here this evening, and we're looking for answers. And how do we go in life? The answer is right here. But no, we don't want to open that up, you see. That's my parents. My grandparents had a Bible one time. That's not for me. No, this right here is a gold mine. The proverb writer talks about that we should seek it more than silver and gold. Why? Because it's just a wealth of comfort and guidance right here. And you know what? Many are missing out because it lays like this in their home and in their car. And wherever it might be, it never lays like this where I'm reading it. It lays like this, and I'm missing out. And I'm not just talking about getting our Bible class lesson. It's great that when we open up our Bibles, we've got to get our Bible class lesson. That's great. I'm just talking about keeping a Bible beside your bed or close by, and you just open it up when you want some help, you see. And I'm just going to read some Scripture and meditate on that in order to gain some comfort and consolation. And I need some help with this matter. Let's keep our Bibles open. Many are missing out on showing their service and their love. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6, a passage that we looked at this morning in our Bible class. We're going through the book of Hebrews. I'm impressed with Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. As you're turning over to Hebrews 6 and 10, are we typically a type of person where I'm needy? You need to come help me with this, and you need to come help me with that. Am I always pretty much that way? That's the way it's running, where brethren are running in my direction, giving me help and me aid, and I need you for this and I need you for that. Is it pretty much that way all the time? Or is it also, there are times when we all need help like that, but I'm also going to be the other way. I'm going to be out taking them something. I'm going to be giving them something. I'm going to be baking them some bread. I'm going to be calling them. I'm going to be visiting them. Is it just one direction, or is it the other direction too? Do you know what? When we don't serve our brethren, do you know that we're missing out? You're missing out. I'm missing out on a great opportunity to show love and compassion and service, those things that God wants us to do. We're missing out. Sometimes when we think of it from the standpoint of, I have to make somebody something. I have to make a call. I have to do a hospital visit or whatever. Instead, it should be, when I don't do those things, I'm missing out. I'm missing out on that great opportunity to show love and good works.
And notice in verse 10, you showed your work and love toward His name in that you ministered to the saints. You showed it. What a great thing. Now, we all have different abilities and talents and limitations, but we all need to be showing something toward the brethren. There's time. There's going to be time in our lives when we need somebody to come help us, but it doesn't need to be that way all the time. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. You know, I find it interesting in Acts chapter 9, when Peter came and chose to raise someone from the dead, can you imagine out of all the church members to raise from the dead, who would you raise? Look at all the early church members in the book of Acts. All the church members in the book of Acts, who would you raise if you had an opportunity to raise somebody? Would you raise Judas? Would you raise Judas from the dead? Well, maybe he could be given a second chance. Let me ask you this. Would you raise Ananias and Sapphira, the liars in the church? Would you raise them from the dead? Would you want them back around in the church? Maybe lie some more. I'll tell you who you want to raise from the dead. You want to raise this lady named Dorcas. You know why? Because she's known for her good works. And she's always out doing good works for brethren. I'll tell you what. You bring her back into the church, she's going to be doing some more of that. That's the person you need in the church, right? This woman was amazing. And brethren, we need to be like her. And when we don't, it's not do I have to do? No, we're missing out. Well, you don't understand, Brother East. I'm busy. I'm busy, so I can't make that visit or that call or that baked good or whatever. I'm busy. I got this going. No, we're missing out. We're missing out. And so verse 36, Acts chapter 9, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha. By interpretation, Dorcas, this woman was full of good works. You see, no, it's not just, it's all about me. You come do this for me. There's going to be time for that. We all are in need with physical things and other things. But this woman was going the other direction, full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she fell sick and died. And when they washed her, they laid her in an upper chamber. And as Lydda was nigh unto Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, earlier in chapter 9, sent two men unto him, entreating him, delay not to come unto us. Why? Why beg Peter? If Dorcas is not supplying anything in the local church, if she's not an active member, why go there and entreat Peter? Please, can you come do something about this woman? She clearly is someone who's contributing. And there's a great loss here. So much so that men go and beg Peter, please come. We need her back. Are we such in the local church that if we passed away and someone had the power to bring us back, that somebody, oh, please, please bring Dylan back. You know, he's a fine young man and he serves in the, please bring him back, Lord. Is that the way it would be? Well, that's the way it was here. And it was because this woman used her opportunities to show her love and work toward all the saints. Well, let's read about it. Verse 39. And Peter arose and went to them, and when he had come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. I'm sure that sometime in Dorcas's life, she needed some brethren to come do for her. I'm certain of that. We all need that from time to time. But when that was over with, she was back to, I'm about serving you now. What can I do for you? Let's not be, you know, that one-way approach to life. Otherwise, we're missing out. Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, turning to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her, and calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. Well, we need to be like her. And if we're not, then we're missing out. So let's raise our children to be givers and servers and workers and ministers. It's not one direction.
It's not, I'm going to grow up and what are people going to do for me? But what can I do? So mothers showing the children how to bake things and cook things and take things. And fathers showing the example of calling on people and visiting and helping. Otherwise, we're just missing out on those good things that God wants us to do. We're missing out on God's approval when men fail to serve as elders and deacons. We're in a situation where there are many, many local congregations without elders and deacons and young men wanting to grow up and be evangelists. I remember when I was young hearing preachers talk about the importance of men. And men, listen up. Those of you who can meet these qualifications, married with family and so forth, you grow up and be an elder or a deacon or a gospel preacher. And by gospel preacher, I don't mean someone who necessarily just gives their full time, although that's great too. You might have a secular job like Paul in Acts 18, making tents. But whatever the case, be an elder, be a deacon, be an evangelist. You know why? Because when we don't, then we're missing out. You say, well, wait a minute, doesn't that come with a lot of work? It does. Absolutely, it does. But look at this. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're missing out, men, when we won't avail ourselves to the greatest work on the face of this earth. And that is the preaching of the gospel and the saving of souls and shepherding souls. 1 Timothy 3:1, faithful is the saying, if a man seeketh the office of a bishop or elder, he desireth a good work. And then look with regard to the deacons in verse 13. For they that have served well as deacons gain to themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Jesus Christ. The world doesn't care about what you're doing, but God is saying through this message that you have a great standing. This is a great thing for you to be doing. And so I want us to be thinking about that, men. As we marry and as we have children, read the text, read the qualifications. Let's work toward being an elder. Let's work toward being a deacon because it's a great work. That's God's approval. God is saying that. And we're missing out on that when we could be doing that. There are things in our life that may not qualify us to be those type of men. And we can serve in the local church in other areas. But if we can meet those qualifications, we need to be working toward that. The Lord's church is missing out, and we're missing out on God's approval. And being an evangelist, men, do some preaching. I'm convinced that there will be more and more local congregations as time goes on that need someone to come and preach for them. And you might have a secular job, get a good degree, get a good job, and then go help somebody. Go work with the church, whether it's at home or abroad. And so the work of the evangelist, chapter 4 and verse 5, is a great work. We're seeing more and more local churches without elders and deacons. And men are just missing out. Yes, it's hard. It's difficult to be a shepherd and a deacon and an evangelist, but we're missing out on that great work that God calls men to do. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. When we go to school and we go to work and we talk with our friends and neighbors who are outside the church across the fence in our neighborhood or wherever it might be, have a discussion at Walmart or Kroger, wherever it might be. Listen. And we fail to tell them the old, old story of the gospel and the cross. We're missing out. We're missing out on an opportunity to share the most wonderful good news ever. Even if it's a simple inviting to services, if it's a simple, would you like to hear a copy of one of the sermons that was preached? Would you like a tract? Would you like a bulletin? We're missing out. But you know what? We sing in our songbooks, tell me the old, old story. And then we don't go out and tell them. And we sing, there's a message true and glad for the sinful and the sad. But then we don't go out and share it. We sing, the gospel is for all. And then we don't act like it. And so we could all, I'm sure, do better. But you know what? When it comes to other matters, we wouldn't miss an opportunity to talk about that. Just had a baby. I want to tell you about that. Just had a grandchild. I want to tell you about that. Just got engaged. I want to tell you about that. Just graduated from high school. I want to tell you about that. Just got a college scholarship. I want to tell you about that, you see. And so we use all kinds of means and methods to just share that, you know. And we can't wait to tell somebody. Got a new job. Bought a new car. Just retired. Whatever the case might be. Boy, we just love to tell that. But the gospel, you see. So I wanted to encourage us this evening that we can be right next to something. We can be right next to the Grand Canyon. But no, we're not going to go see it. We're right there. We're right there. Walmart, Kroger, barbershop, whatever. We're right there. No. Don't do it. So what's to think about that, brother? We're missing out. Paul didn't miss out. He didn't miss out on an opportunity. Look at him in Romans chapter 1, and we need to be like him. And the lesson this evening is to encourage us that we're right next to things, and often by our own choice, we are missing out. We need to be like Paul. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So as much as in me is, every ounce of my fiber and being, I am ready to preach the gospel to you also that are at Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. And that is what we need to get over when we're out in public with us. We need to get over that. Well, I'm ashamed to bring that up. No, I am not. It could be a formal discussion about a Bible passage, or like I said earlier, it could just be a simple, will you come to services, but get them to that old story. The good news, is it really good news, or have we forgotten that? We don't miss an opportunity to tell others good news about things in our personal lives. Let us not do that with regard to the great gospel message. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. I have great sorrow and unceasing pain in my heart for his Jewish brethren who were lost. And chapter 10, my heart's desire is that they be saved. And so that's why he took opportunities that he had, public and private, to share with them that old story. I believe we mean what we sing in those songs. I want us to think about when we sing those songs about how great the gospel is. Let's mean that, and let's not miss out on opportunities to tell others. Are we missing out on an opportunity to defeat the devil? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, if you'll turn with me there, God provides a way of escape. We may find ourselves from time to time giving in to some temptation. Do you realize that with every temptation, God provides a way of escape? And so it was right there. It's like going down the highway and the exit is right there. It's just right there. But we don't take it. We're missing out. And so with every temptation, God makes a way of escape so that we are able to bear it. Notice this. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape. It's right there. It could be prayer. It could be calling a Bible passage to mind. It could be leaving, physically running like Joseph did, running out of the situation. It could be getting with our brethren and getting some help with them. But there is a way of escape. And we don't have to say, well, you know, I just had to do that. The devil made me do that. No, there was. You just chose to miss out on that. And so let's take those ways. God knows the devil. He knows the devil. He knows how powerful he is. He knows how strong. And so he comes along with every one of those. He comes along and makes an opportunity. But we've got to take it. If we don't, we're missing out. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. You know, I just want to be a permanent visitor at Memorial. I just want to be a visitor. There have been places, other places where Sherry and I have worked, where individuals have come, non-members have come, and even those who claim to be Christians. And they'll either tell the elders or maybe men's business meeting, don't call on me to do anything. I don't want to, in their words, join. I just want to visit. So I come in and I sit in my pew. And I'll sing when it comes time to sing. And I may or may not get my Bible class lesson. But there's going to be a lot of things that I just don't want you to call on me to do. And I pretty much just want to be a visitor. Well, you're missing out. You're missing out. God wants us to be an active member. It'd be like a part of our physical body saying, you know, I just want to go like the government. You know, I just want to shut down and not be functioning or anything. How would we feel about that? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. From whom all the body, fitly framed and knit together, through that which every joint supplies. Are you supplying something? We're supposed to be contributing and supply. And by contributing here on the board, I don't mean the collection plate that's passed. I mean contributing our time and talent in our effort to be an active member of the Memorial Boulevard congregation and not just simply sort of a permanent visitor. There are those who will come, and I'm encouraged by the fact that they sing. I've been in other congregations where they won't even sing. I've known of some who have come, they won't sing, they won't take the Lord's Supper, they won't contribute, they won't do anything in Bible class. I wonder why they're there. Why are you here? And we appreciate the seekers and those who are looking and that type of thing. But in time, we've got to get out of that mode. The people I'm talking about, they were that way the whole time I knew them. And they're still that way. So we're missing out. When I'm not an active member of this congregation and I'm more of a sort of a permanent visitor, I'm missing out. And I need to think about that. When you come, when I'm just sort of a visitor, and do I want this building to be ready? Do I want this building to be ready? Oh, yeah. Building better be ready. Better be clean. Yeah, better be clean. And Lord's Supper better be ready to go. Now, I'm not going to do anything to get the building ready. And I'm not going to do anything to get the... But it better be ready there when I come in and sit down. You better have that ready now. And there better be a song leader up there. Now, don't call on me to do that, you see. And don't call on me to do this. I just come in and sit down. That's what I do, you see. Now all this stuff better be ready. Now, how fair is that? Would we do that at work? We wouldn't do that at work. We wouldn't do that in other places in our life. But many will do it here. They'll do it here. And by here, I don't mean just memorial, but in local congregations, different places. Come in and sit down. It all better be done. And if I have kids, listen, there better be some Bible class teachers over there ready to teach my kids. Yeah, that better be ready to go, you see. Somebody better have that curriculum ordered. Somebody better sign up, you see. See how that works? I'm just going to be a visitor. You have all that done, you see. We need everyone, brethren and friends, we need every one of us, not just visiting, but actively contributing more than what we do. And let's be mindful of that. And when we're not, we're cheating ourselves. We're missing out. We're missing out on wholesome Christian influence when we can gather together. Sometimes we forget. We read Acts chapter 2 and we talk about what the brethren were doing in the temple. But notice Acts chapter 2 and verse 46 with me. Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. And they took their... And breaking bread at home, they took their food with singleness and gladness of heart. Brethren got together outside the assembly. Sometimes as parents, we want our children to be around young people. But often what we'll do is, and this has happened in other places, where we'll let our children be around worldly young people, people that are cussing and doing this and doing that. But when it comes time to take them to a get-together where they can be with other young Christians, well, we may or may not be there. And I'm not talking about if we already had something planned on a given occasion. That's fine, of course. Appreciate
Davey and Anna having a get-together of brethren over at their home last night. What is that? We're getting together outside the assembly, and Romans 12:10, we prefer our brethren. We prefer the company of our brethren over those things of the world. And we're missing out when we don't regularly partake of that. Again, from time to time, the scheduling conflicts, and we understand that. We miss out on the faith-building evidence when we fail to hear evidence presented. And this was Thomas's problem. Thomas had that faith-building evidence right there, but he missed out. Do you know that there are Bible classes every week here? There are sermons every week here that are faith-building for our young people, for those who are older, and they help answer issues that are going on in the world. They help answer issues that are going on in our life, specific types of things. It's all there. And many people won't avail themselves to it. And those are the very people that say, well, you know, I don't believe in the existence of God. Or, you know, I don't know if Jesus, you know, rose from the dead. I don't believe that ark thing and that Jonah and the whale. Are you kidding me? I don't know if I can believe all that. Well, did you come hear the evidence on it? No, I haven't heard any of that, you see. So, it's there. It's right there. It's presented. And yet, many will not avail themselves. Sometimes there's one-on-one studies where we can be built up in the faith. Faith comes by hearing. But if we're not here to hear, then we're missing out. Every Bible class is important. Every sermon is important. And I don't say that because I preach the majority of them, but because faith comes by hearing. And so there's evidence that is presented. Hebrews 11:1 in the King James, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Let's be here to hear that faith-building evidence. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, if we fail to become a New Testament Christian in the way that the New Testament describes that, then we're missing out on life itself. Listen, life itself now. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. The prodigal son, he thought he was experiencing life in Luke 15 when he went out and squandered his money. And he was with the harlots. Listen, young people, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get drunk and I'm going to engage in sexual immorality and cheat and steal and shoot somebody and spray paint somebody's wall. I'm going to be doing all that and I'm going to be living it up. I'm going to have a good life. After a little while, he's sitting with a bunch of pigs. Now, that's not the life. And so your friends say, you know, if you'll get into drugs and alcohol and cussing and all kinds of these things that we do and have fun, you see, well, you'll really be living it up. No, listen, when we don't become a godly Christian, that's when we're missing out. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it's godliness. Living the godly life of a Christian, bodily exercise is profitable for a little. It'll help you a little bit. But godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life, the Christian life, that now is, and that which is to come in heaven. That's where it's at. And if we're not a godly Christian, we're missing out on life itself. And who would want to do that? Life, really living, is not cussing, not drinking, not smoking, not fornicating, reading my Bible, doing good works, being faithful, not lying, not stealing. That's where life is at. Yeah, absolutely. It's the opposite of what Hollywood says in movies and music. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. So, the encouragement as we come to the close, we need to make sure that we are a New Testament Christian the way we need to be. And if we're uncertain about that, let's study. Let's have a study. Let's talk together to make sure if we're not certain about that. Let's test that with the Word of God. Because when we're not
that true New Testament Christian, not just what we've heard other religions talk about, but the way it's described in the New Testament, when I'm missing out on that, I'm missing out on life itself. Peter says, he that would love life and see good days, let him go out and get drunk and let him do all of it. No, he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. What is that? That's the life of a Christian. If you would love life and see good days, that's where it's at. And when we're not about that, then we're just missing out. And you know what? As we come to the close, we're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement in just a moment. You miss out on all of that, you're going to miss out on heaven. I'm going to miss out on heaven. So, prayer's right there, but I don't utilize it. The Bible's right there, but I don't open it. I have an opportunity to assemble with the saints and to do good works and all these things that we talked about tonight. Share the gospel. So I'm not going to do any of that. I'm missing out on all that. And then you know what? Come judgment day, I miss out on heaven, the most grand and glorious goal and prospect of all life. Just because I chose to miss out on that way of escape that God provided me. And here's another opportunity. Someone's going to stand and sing a song. And here's some water here where somebody can be immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins. And here's an opportunity right now. But, you know, I don't want that, you see. Well, come judgment day, we're not going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We're going to hear something else. And we're going to miss out. So, Thomas was not with them. I don't know why. And I'm not going to charge him with something. I don't know. I just know that he wasn't there for a period of time and he missed out on some great things. And it's a lesson for us that all these great things are right around us. Let's not miss out on them, especially the opportunity that we have right now to respond to the gospel. If we can assist you in any way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?